At Bill's words, the man in the bed began to turn, to roll himself over in the careful way that becomes instinctive when your kneecap is broken. First he planted his palms on the mattress like the bracing legs of a machine gun. Then he slid his attention down his trunk to where his own legs were still those of a man sleeping on his side. Slowly he lifted the weak one from its resting place on its uninjured partner, setting the immobilized length, gaunt and atrophied, slowly upon a white crumple of blanket. So this guy broke his patella too, I thought. That must be why I'm here. He needs encouragement. His eyes were still clinging to the recently repositioned limb, as if his leg were a newly acquired item of fragile antique crockery that might slip when he let go and tumble off the bed. When, eventually, its stability seemed certain, he exhaled, leaned back in his pillows, and looked up at Bill. "And how have you been, my friend?" said Bill. "Real good," said the man, shrugging his shoulders. "But I'm thinking of quitting therapy. There's a fitness center where I work. They have all the same machines."
"But you haven't even started therapy," said Janice.
Anyone could see that, I thought, as I looked at the man's shrunken leg. His right quadriceps had atrophied to a bony nothingness.
"All in due course," said Bill to Janice with a fatherly tone. Then he smiled at the man in the bed. "It's time for your daily quiz, my friend. Shall we commence?"
"Why not?" said the man. "Sure, I've got a minute." "Is that why they brought me here?" I wondered. "To listen to a quiz? Or have they forgotten that I was with them in the room?"
"Wonderful," Bill was saying to the man. "Let us start with an easy question. Can you tell me who I am?"
"Oh, come on," said the man in the bed. "You're Bill, my neighbor."
"Your neighbor, do you say? I must admit I've been called worse, much worse, neighbor. Could you tell us what you mean by that?"
"Well, I mean," said the man slowly, trying to restrain his impatience at the evident triviality of the question, "that you rent the back room behind my kitchen."
"Ah, yes," said Bill. "You've described this room before, my book-bedecked retreat. Tell me again, how long have I occupied this domicile?"
The man in the bed seemed troubled by the question.
3 months or so, I guess. But you've been missing for half that time. I just found you here in the hospital."
"Yes, you have found me," said Bill. "And indeed, this hospital is where we are."
"What about me?" said Janice. "Do you know who I am?"
The man looked as if it wounded him that she would even ask.
"You're Janice," he said. "My girlfriend."
No, I'm not," said Janice. "I'm one of your doctors. I talk to you every day. Don't you know my name?"
"Look," said the man, "I understand you might be seeing someone else.
"Janice is a woman you used to sleep with," she said. "She came to visit you once, but she couldn't." "On to the next question," said Bill. He pulled a large plastic-handled mirror from the depths of a lab coat pocket and held it toward the man. "Do you recognize this face?" The man in the bed stared into the mirror for a long moment. "Poor guy," he said. "He's in rough shape." Then he reached toward the mirror, and Bill allowed him to tilt it gently down so he could see his injured leg. "He broke his kneecap, didn't he? But he hasn't made any progress. That's why I'm here, right? To give him some encouragement?"
"And what sort of encouragement could you offer?"
"Well," he said, "I'm a success story. Look at my leg, my clothes, my life."
And I, who had been listening quietly like a well-behaved visitor, could not tolerate one more moment.
"No," I shouted, "that's wrong.